Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, and that there is Rex Hupke, and we're like full of sass today, Hupke.
So
I can
sassy.
Feel it in the air. We're just like all full of sass. Maybe it's because our president tweets in all caps and rhymes.
Oh, yeah, the rhyme. That's when our pre-podcast discussion, that didn't even come up. What was it? It's build the wall, crime will fall. Nice.
Well, you thought of that all day, didn't you, guy? So that only sparked a waterfall of people on social media also like rhyming their own things, which was very hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah. There was some brilliant stuff out there. It's nothing like a president who thinks so highly of his base that he comes up with nursery rhymes, basically, for them as the only way that he can successfully communicate. Yeah, I don't have them right in front of me. There were some ridiculous parodies of that. As well there should be.
As well there should be.
And now we wait for the first damn rally where everybody starts chanting that. And it's just...
That will happen immediately,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's going to be merchandise, and there's going to be... And you know, it's funny.
Well,
I mean, it's funny as in its absurdity and infantilism.
That's the one you're trying to say. infantilnosity.
Yes.
We're back to the Bush era. The Bush era seems fine as compared to all this bullshit.
But then there's so much wrong with that, right? I mean, there's the whole implication that all crime is being committed by brown people who are coming.
Specifically that are crossing the U.S.-Mexico border on the ground.
Right.
Physically, like on foot on the ground.
Yeah.
Except for that time when he thought there were powerful vehicles.
yeah, right, exactly.
I think
he thought there were live coyotes at one point, too.
Jesus Christ. Let's throw in a chupacabra or two.
Exactly.
Whatever. He didn't know what that is.
But no, I mean, it is. I mean, it's like, so the build the wall thing was pretty racist and isolationist and shitty in and of its own. But now you add build the wall, crime will fall. Now you're just sort of, in case you didn't get that the first three words
We're racist super racist.
Shitty.
Let me add some more.
We had three more to really put an exclamation point on it.
Our good friend of this podcast, she's on Twitter, is Oh No, She Twittened.
Yeah.
We're big fans of hers.
Big.
I don't know if she's fans of us, but we're big fans of hers. She may be like, never mention me on your show again, please. but she immediately, when he tweeted, build a wall and crime will fall, she also tweeted, she did like a... retweet with comment. Sick rhymes, notorious B-I-G-O-T. I love her.
She is so funny.
She is the funniest.
I hope she doesn't listen to this and hear me praising her this much because...
she'll hate us.
Yes.
She'll like, never do it again.
Yeah. Or she'll love it, actually.
Well, whatever. Anyway,
she demands it.
She's good with the...
oh, my God.
Dishing it back to the president.
Yes. Ridiculously funny.
Yeah. So, okay. So, we got things to talk about today. We got State of the Union.
Mm.
We got... We got military transgender issues out the wazoo.
Yeah,
is what we got. It's very unfortunate and super hella fucked up, and just like that's just shameful.
Yes,
Let's not even make a list because there's honestly so much. It hurts my ears.
Right. I mean, what's happening now? The level of stupid right now is
raw high.
Really crushing. It's just
if we're aiming at dumb shit. We're killing it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, normally we have sort of X level of just stupid happening, but you don't have 800,000 federal workers not getting paychecks and starting to really suffer. And now you're starting to hear stories about, like, people who can't afford insulin and can't, you know, are losing
their
homes.
Which, let me just say, insulin should be free anyway.
It should be free, absolutely.
Insulin should absolutely be free. But, yeah, since it is not, it should, first of all, it has sparked reason for people to start looking at prices of things. And, yes. and so there's a lot of data that's suddenly surfacing or being made more visible anyway about drug prices. And insulin was one of them, of how it's almost doubled since 2012 in price, which is shameful and terrible. Other things that are shameful, when we have service members relying on the generosity of others to just eat is terrible and shameful. Shameful. And then there was some kind of, there started to be a little bit of a blanket rumor, but it's a little more nuanced than that. It has to do, it's kind of department by department. But there was a blanket rumor for a while that service members could not use like a community kitchen or a soup kitchen or something like that.
Oh, really?
There's a little bit of ruling around it. Like it's not that black and white. It really has to do with what your commanding officer says and what branch of the service you're in and what your specific job function is. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, kind of digging even a cursory research venture into that was kind of, okay, not so black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
But nonetheless, that even something like that exists is fucked up. And it's made more fucked up by this moment that we're in which people are not able to support themselves. And, you know, workers that are like, okay, I'm still showing up, but I got to call off to the job I'm not getting paid for just so I can go do some other kind of work temporarily.
There was something about air traffic controller who was driving like Uber at night.
Oh, yeah.
So you're like, no, those aren't the kind of people that I want to be snoozy.
I need you rested.
Right. Yeah.
Snoozy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, the whole thing. And there was a big thing came out yesterday about law enforcement in general and the FBI in particular, how much it's damaging them and their ability, you know, work they've done to infiltrate different organizations globally. Then it's being held up now because they don't have any money. And
it's all bad. Make no mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then on top of it, you got, you know, President nursery rhyme blathering and
Mother Goose up in here.
Yeah, and then you have you know, Kavanaugh and his buds Squee and everybody pounding beers while they force transgender people out of the military, which is just you know, like, what?
Shameful.
How does anybody, because, you know, it's become, I mean, some people legitimately treat people who have served in the military or who are serving in the military with a certain level of respect and almost reverence, which I think is appropriate because that's a hell of a thing to do. And it's a lot braver than I would ever be to, you know, sort of put your life potentially on the line for your country. I think that's a great thing. And a lot of people certainly agree with that. But a lot of people also just sort of parrot the, well, I respect the troops and anything for the troops. And then something like this comes along and they're like, okay, good. I'm glad they kicked those trans people out of there. And it's like, whoop. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes back to like a really particular definition of what masculinity is, and that the military is inherently masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that whole thing, you know, that if you're not a cisgender male, you are just like, the military is really not for you. And if you do fall into a group other than cisgender male, then we're doing you a favor by letting you here. You know, that there's kind of that narrative, and that's really terrible and really shameful. I don't know where to start with that one even, because it's so upsetting and it's so just frustrating. It's just one of those, like, God, we just are not making any goddamn headway. That's the problem. I feel like it's just not, and then in other ways, I think we are. You know, we have socialist candidates that got elected. We are making headway. And yet, you know, dumb shit like this. Like, can we just, I'm telling you, Hupke, I've been saying it from the start, a good old-fashioned defenestration. You storm a building, you throw a bitch out of a window. I'm telling you, that's what we need to do.
I don't recall the throw a bitch out of the window part.
I mean,
part, but
bitch is my addition, but, you know, you storm the Bastille and you take care of business is what I'm saying. Watch, someone's going to take that out of context and be like, Guth is inciting violence. I'm just saying we got to do something is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it does. Yes. I mean, things are at a level right now where it's hard because everybody kind of feels like at any moment the thing that's going to fix us all is going to happen. And that's it's unlikely.
There's no thing. There's no one thing.
It's unlikely that anything big is going to really just sort of sweep everything back to normalcy. But, you know, there has been a tide turn of some sort lately, and you're seeing it now even more. The polling with the shutdown and stuff is becoming even more definitive. His numbers are starting to drop, even among his base supporters, like high school educated white men. Like, numbers have been falling there. And I think the reason is because, and this is something we've talked about this before, is that the people that support him blindly, the only thing that's going to knock some sense into them is for them to hurt. They have to feel pain from what he has done. And the only way, they're not going to feel pain over transgender people. They're not going to feel pain over a lot of the other things that he's done to kind of coarsen our whole society here and turn us against each other. But they will feel pain if they aren't making money. Or, things start, they're farmers who start not getting the money they need because the government shut down. Or, they have a business that relies on government contracts and the government shut down. So I think that's the only reason you're starting to see a little bit of movement there.
Counterpoint. Did you see there was a landowner, I think he might have been a farmer, but definitely a landowner who was on Fox talking about who owns land near the U.S.-Mexico border, mm-hmm. and said something like, I will give up my land to make this wall happen.
No, I didn't see that.
You're an idiot, sir.
I didn't see that particular person, although that's a...
You can't miss him. He's in a big old red farmer plaid shirt, like straight out of Central Casting, like big old... good old boy kind of farmer dude, right? Yeah. Like, it's a real... Sir, don't do that. Sir, you're an idiot. Do not do that.
Well, also, and honestly, one of the biggest things about the whole wall concept that gets... It's been written about a little bit, but it generally gets overlooked because I don't think it doesn't play well in terms of, sort of screaming headlines and that sort of thing. But the idea of them having to basically take the land it would require to build the wall via eminent domain and the lawsuits that would entail, not to mention, I think we've seen a time or two exactly how well, ranchers do with having the government monkey with their land. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be nuts. Absolutely nuts. And it's not just like you need, a strip of land upon which this wall can stand. Access points. Yeah. You got to get people in and out. You're going to have...
Right. It's not just like...
You're going to have ten
wall is
cities
a foot
of workers.
Thick, so we need a foot.
No, man. They're going to tear the crap out of everything. Yeah. You need infrastructure. You need roads to get at it. Forget about it. It's a massive thing. Which is another reason why it'll just never happen. It's not going to happen. The whole thing that's what is so astonishing about this whole thing. And not just, it's bad enough that the guy said Mexico will pay for the wall 800 million times, and that was like his biggest selling point. And it's obviously nonsense because now he's actually put 800,000 people out of work in order to get us to pay for the wall. But it's such a complete ludicrous fabrication. And also, all he's asking for is $5 billion, which would build a fraction of the wall.
And also, it's just a misguided, foolish... Like, he doesn't understand how people actually... First of all, he doesn't hold American citizens accountable for horrendous acts. He doesn't understand how people actually enter this country. He doesn't... He's picking on one thing, and we've gone over this a million times, right? We've said it to her blue in the face. It's just not accurate. It is not compatible with reality, mm-hmm. and he is being such a dumbass and just pushing this narrative. Like, one of his tweets earlier today was right before the all caps build a wall and crime will fall tweet. He did it right before that and said, build a wall and crime will fall. This is the new theme for 2 years until the wall is finished, parentheses, under construction now, of the Republican Party. Use it and pray. You're out of your goddamn mind.
It's just insane. And honestly, all he's doing the same thing the NRA does, basically, in terms of selling fear and trying to get people to... They're selling fear and trying to get people to buy more guns with the belief that it'll help them somehow, which it won't. And then there's him selling fear in order to... get really just to get votes, basically, but also, in this case, to kind of get money for whatever this nonsensical
dumb
project
shit he wants
is.
To do. Yeah. As an aside, I have a special message for the person who signed me up as an NRA member.
Oh, yeah, I had that happen too. Yeah.
That you can go fuck yourself. So, yesterday I received a phone call that said, we appreciate you as an NRA supporter and have a couple of quick questions.
Oh, somebody actually made like a donation in your name?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't. I've got somebody signed me up for their mailing list.
And I said, what are you talking about? You have the wrong Amy Guth. Like, I'm not a supporter. No, you. And they assured me that they received my donation. And I said, well, I recognize you're just the messenger, so I'm not going to say anything unpleasant to you, nice lady on the phone. But no part of me supports your organization. No part of me has ever supported your organization. And anything done in my name is bullshit. And don't call me again. Literally, I do not want to get one more call. And I want you to make that really clear in the records.
Yeah.
I do not support you. And I'm going to call you out in every forum I have. And she was like, she kind of chuckled. And I was like, I'm serious. And she was, well, we're happy to have you if you would like. I could share some. And I was like, I'm a journalist and I would not join this organization, even if I did support it, which I do not. Lose my number. And I hung up and I was like, oh, some asshole, like, listen to me either probably on this or on the air or something. And, and was like, ah, you know, I'm going to fix her little red wagon.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, you're an idiot because you parted with however much.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I had some guy who would always, he would, every time I wrote a column about guns, he would donate $100 to the NRA. He'd email and be like, well, just donated another $100 to the NRA.
I bet you $100 he didn't do
right.
it.
Right, I know, exactly. That's what I thought, too.
$100.
But I was also just kind of like, hey, man, whatever you get.
If you feel like shitting out a $100
right.
bill
if
every time.
If you want to flush it down the toilet, I don't give a crap. Set it on fire, whatever, shove it up your right. nose.
Why don't you just take it to Vegas, you dumbass?
Yeah.
Go have a drink. Get a really nice bottle of scotch with that. Nice. That'll get you like two bottles of the Balvenie. You know?
Yeah. What an,
I know my scotch.
Yeah, I guess you do. Goofing up key on alcohol.
That's fine. That's fine. Anyway, to that person who parted with their money and added me as an NRA member, go
nice
fuck
try.
Yourself. I'm uninterested in your antics. And if I find out the number that you donated, I don't have shit. I barely pay my goddamn bills, but I will find a way to get that double that number and give it to Planned Parenthood in your number, in your name, and make sure to continue to do so every year. So you will never stop hearing from Planned Parenthood. And they will keep thanking you for protecting women's bodies and healthcare.
There you go.
So watch yourself because, as my dad likes to say, don't fuck with a fucker. It's a Guth family motto.
That's a good one. Should get that on a hat.
I could do it like in a red hat, like in the font of the MAGA hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, don't fuck with the fucker. But that could go so many ways in the MAGA context. Good job. You covered your microphone when you took a cup
of sorry.
Water,
I know. I felt terrible when I did that.
Because you could hear it when you listened back, couldn't you?
Yeah. It was not good.
I listened back and I was in my kitchen laughing so hard at us. Mm-hmm. Me going like, I can hear you sipping.
Sorry.
It's all good. Anyway, back to reading Trump's tweets. The other one I wanted to read was... this one is so stupid. So there's a whitehouse.gov.
Well, that narrows it down.
Yeah, well, right. Did you see that one stupid tweet from Trump? No, this is his most recent one. This was about an hour ago. It's a whitehouse.gov piece. Uh-huh. And
I saw it.
And it says, the historic results of President Donald J. Trump's first 2 years in office. But it's tweeted with, like, the caption he put on it. So, you know, there's the readout when you put a link in there. But the caption he put on it is that same the same as the article headline with quotes on it. So that'd be like, okay, you know, say there's an article about me that says Amy Guth is super awesome, and then I tweet it, and on top of it I just like put in quotes Amy Guth is super awesome. That's a one-way ticket to what a dumbass, Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Population me.
Right.
So, you know, you'd be like, hey, this is so nice that this organization wrote this article about me. Or you go like, some interesting data in here about my term. You know, but that's what a normal person would do.
No, he doesn't get how it works.
God, he's an idiot.
And he probably didn't tweet that anyway. It's probably some, I don't think he has the capacity to.
It's probably they probably have some like real janky, stupid app on there, like to auto tweet anytime.
Or he just has some flunky running around. You know, he has to. That would be the worst job on the planet. Is having to be his Twitter assistant.
Fixer. Oh, Jesus.
Lord have mercy. But sir, that's misspelled. Don't tell me, it's misspelled.
Wall doesn't get capitalized unless it's at the top of a sentence or you're talking about the Pink Floyd album.
Yeah.
Do it anyway. It's my wall. All right, fine.
He's just lower. You know, he's lowered everything. You know, when you think about it, like the language, the random capitalization, which he even does, like his letter to Nancy Pelosi even had like these
randomly
about that. Capitalized words.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. He, and even just... Like, I don't think he has the capacity to not sound aggrieved and just, you know, pathetic.
Yeah, like, what do you think his, like his holiday card sounds like? You know? Like, I bet even, like, a birthday card from him is, like, wishing you birthday greetings. Like, it's probably just, like, gruff and pissy.
I went out of my way to send you this card.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it'd be like. I hope you you're happy because I went out of my way to send you this card, and it's from me, Donald J. Trump. It'd be like that.
And by the way, I'm doing great.
By the way, my ratings are excellent and crime is down. Build a wall. We should make those. That could be like in our merch store that's quickly coming together.
Yes.
We could have Trump Valentine's. And Trump no cards.
You could just pull. I'm sure you could pull quotes of his that would, and just put them in cards, and it would work in a funny sort of a way.
Hupke, we're doing this.
Yeah,
let's make money off this bozo.
Yeah, he's making money off us, so we might. I think he owes. It's the least he can do.
Anyway,
so okay, Nancy Pelosi's letter. Yeah.
So State of the Union is the topic,
right?
And. The letter to her. Well, let's back up. So, State of the Union. What are you doing?
I was going to pull up the letter.
Oh, yeah. Get the letter. No, okay. I don't have the letter.
Yeah, okay.
So, essentially, you know, he sends her a letter you know, hey, this is on. We're doing this. Da, da, da. She fires back and saying, like, yeah, we agreed that we're doing this, but not with a government shutdown going on, not with all this crap happening, not with all these things. But his letter to her was so stupid.
Yeah.
And so crabby and weird and just like, it's not even at the level of dry professional memo. It's not even at that level. Like, you can't even be office space about it, bro.
Yeah.
Again, I stand by my comments last time. He can't even fake work. He sucks at working so hard he can't even fake work. He doesn't even know how to cover his own ass and just like write a shitty memo.
Yeah.
He can't even rise to the level passive aggressive.
Yeah. No, he's complete garbage. Wait, is this the sorry, this is the one from Pelosi. It's hard. There's so many. It's funny. It is funny. This is like one of those back and forth columns, like a letter, like when columnists like write letters to each other. So, I mean, it's just like this. Dear Nancy. Dear Donald. Yeah, so he writes to her, this was the one today, thank you for your letter of January 3rd sent to me long after the shutdown began, inviting me to address the nation on January 29th as to the State of the Union, as to, I don't know what that says. As you know, I had already accepted your kind invitation. However, I then received another letter from you wherein you expressed concern regarding security during the State of the Union address due to the shutdown capitalized for no reason. Even prior to asking, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security, blah, 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 to explain that there would be absolutely no problem regarding security with respect to the event. Accordingly, there are no security concerns regarding the State of the Union address. Therefore, I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty to deliver important information to the people of Congress of the United States. To the people and Congress of the United States of America. I look forward to seeing you on the evening of January 29th in the chamber of the House of Representatives. It would be so very sad for our country if the State of the Union were not delivered on time, on schedule, and very importantly, on location! Exclamation point.
Shut up, dude.
The exclamation points, the random capitalization.
Oh, the exclamation. I can't say exclamation points.
Yeah, those two.
Are idiotic.
Yeah. No, it's childish. It's absolutely childish.
And what are the, there was a couple, I wasn't looking at just now because I was not peering into your phone, but
yes.
There was one particular capitalization that was extra stupid. Which one was it? I mean, they're all stupid, but there's one that's extra like, what are you doing?
State of the Union. He capitalized shutdown.
Right, because he thinks that's a thing. He just doesn't have an understanding of.
Of anything.
Of what a, proper noun is.
Yeah, country. It'd be very sad for our capital C country. If the State of the Union were not delivered on time.
No, he does that one all the time. There's another one.
It might have been in the, because he sent another letter. I'm looking at the one from today. He sent a previous letter, which I can't find. Anyway, but yeah, that one had some nonsense. It's just, I mean, it's like his tweets. I mean, and I don't understand how he, I mean, I think it's part of the, like I said, I think it's part of the, almost the brand. Oh, yeah, no, this was the one. Okay, yeah. Dear Madam, M-A-D-A-M-E, Speaker.
Madam.
Madam Speaker. This is the one where he rescinded her trip to Brussels. Not to Brussels, but to Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
Via Brussels. He referred to it as a 7-day excursion.
Oh, shut up.
Shut down, all caps. And then strong border security is all caps. And another exclamation point at the end. So it's just, I mean, it's just really, like, think about the, you know, say he serves out his term and winds up
please
with,
don't say things
without,
like that.
With a library, right? The Trump presidential library.
Oh, my God.
Just say that happens. And
I
imagine the content.
That far ahead. Jesus.
Imagine the content of that library versus the content of other presidential libraries. I mean,
what will be in that library?
Right. Just all of these weird notes and like stuff written in crayon or something like that. So.
Yeah. That's right. And here I was like, you know, the Abe Lincoln library and center and museum in Springfield is actually quite nice. I always tell people, like, if you're driving through Central Illinois, it is actually worth a stop. Like, Disney Educational does a thing there with holograms, and it's cool and weird. And there's some, you know, they do a pretty good job of, like, putting some neuroses on display with some of the letters that are a little bit neurotic and weird. And, you know, they're like, oh, you know what? Abe's just as fucked up as the rest of us.
Right.
Good enough, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, imagine the Trump library and all the garbage in there. Also, imagine how many people are going to urinate on that building.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it would be completely bizarre and
I mean,
bananas.
I would consider it.
It would be in the shape of him, probably, you know?
It'd be like gold doors, gold toilets.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, by the way, we completely missed this, too. This is on point somewhat, but did you see the thing about how the White House has been altering photos of him to make him look thinner, younger, and
no,
yeah, and they've actually
wait. That's the improved. That's a Photoshop Trump.
Yeah, they've actually extended his. They've made his fingers look bigger. And somebody was, and they talked about it on Colbert last night too. He showed it. I saw it online also, but that's where somebody came up with that first. But yeah, there's one where he's pointing, and that shows one finger, and then the next one, the finger is like sticking out further, so like to make his hands look bigger. Yeah. So the White House is
how
doctoring.
How did I miss that?
Yeah,
I mean, I've had a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. The White House is actually doctoring photos to make him look better, basically.
That is stunningly good dirt.
Yeah.
And so who leaked that?
I don't know. I don't know what the
a national
origin.
Goddamn hero, that's
yes,
who.
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure what the origin of that was, but yeah, it's pretty funny. And yeah, it was on Colbert last night, too. He did a hilarious job of it.
Oh, my God. That is perfect.
Yeah, why? I guess they've done it before. Yeah, they've doctored. They doctored some. They screwed around with the video during the Jim Acosta stuff last year.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, there's some additional Photoshop monkeying around going on apparently to try to make the dear leader look a little
dear leader.
Little
Let's
better.
Just call him that.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it mostly around hands, or is it like is he getting facelifts and
no?
Tanning?
It looked like there was a little making him look a little thinner, a little younger, and a little larger handed.
You know, he needs to read the 365 Feminist Selfie Manifesto. Is what he needs to do because it. The photo is about taking up space as you are and being your full self and bringing that to the game.
Cool.
Actually, if he could just go away completely, that'd be fine. Yeah. Maybe they could just Photoshop him out.
Yeah,
that'd
exactly.
be fine. Just remove him.
Just remove him completely.
There's just a pen floating above this weird, what did we decide those things are called? Portfolios.
No, right, yeah.
There's just a pen on a portfolio, fake working.
We don't know
Good
who,
job, pen.
We don't know who was here. But yeah, I mean, we haven't really thought, we can barely think beyond like the minute in front of us, but you know, again, if he serves out his term,
what is the legacy left behind here?
Well, not even just the legacy is going to bound to be terrible, but the, you know, there'll be a portrait of him as there are of, I mean, there'll be a thing. I mean, he will be a president if he doesn't leave in disgrace. You know, he will be remembered as
well. Even
you know,
presidents that leave in disgrace are remembered,
right. But I mean, like officially remembered having served.
That's right.
Like I would, because Nixon. He was in his second term when he was impeached. So I think there's probably a president. Well, actually, I don't know. Is there a presidential? You know, they have portraits of all the presidents. I don't know if there's an official.
If only we had a little Google machine here.
If only we had all the information in the world at our fingertips. Wouldn't that be handy?
If only. anyway, say smart things while I Google that.
Okay, I will do that. Oh, crap. Now my brain's going to freeze. I have actually no smart content in my brain at any time. We do need to post this, talk a little bit about the weird dust up with these Kentucky Catholic schoolboys.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah. Let's talk about that.
Which that's a weird one. Everybody's flipping out about it. Everybody, and I kind of almost felt like it was like it almost encapsulated everything bad about the current moment, because you know you had the kids with the MAGA hats, which just inherently looks bad. And you had, looks bad to people who aren't supporters of Trump anyway.
Sidebar, yes, there is a Nixon portrait.
There is a Nixon portrait.
Here
okay.
It is.
All right. Well.
He's holding paper, looking determined.
All right.
There he goes.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. But yeah,
we
really
got Ford holding a pipe.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know he smoked a pipe. Cool.
Jimmy Carter just
holding
hands.
Holding a peanut. Ronald, those were the years.
Reagan just holding his wrist. We got
Bush.
Bush the first holding a paper. Mm-hmm. Not a folded paper like Nixon, just a paper. We got Clinton. That doesn't even look like Clinton. That's not a good portrait. I mean, none of these like weird oil paintings
yeah,
of white guys are, but like that's that almost looks like they're going a little abstract on the face.
Yeah.
The
a
Clinton
bit.
Portrait.
Also looks kind of like he's, you know, eyeballing somebody.
Also, you know, anybody who has like a media training person or a, you know, a handler in that way would tell you if you're trying to restore public trust, you need to be showing your hands. And he's got a hand in his pocket in that. So that's a subconscious signal of hiding. So don't
insert joke here.
Insert joke here.
Right.
And we got W holding onto a chair to steady himself in that one. That's good.
George.
Obama just crossing his arms, being a baller, you know. And there's a photo of Trump.
There's
no way that's really, those aren't his teeth.
Smirking like an asshole.
Those are totally dentures.
Probably.
Look at Trump's teeth. There's no way.
Yeah, it's possible.
There's no way those are totally dentures. Got his hair. I got so much angst for that man.
Looks
anyway,
like a,
sorry.
Like a chinchilla staple to his head.
It's a cat laying on his head. It's terrible. The MAGA teenagers, go.
Yeah. So, okay. So I knew this was going to happen almost from the second that I saw this start, where there was the initial little clip of the kid staring at the Native American guy and looking for all the world like he's an evil, racist little douchebag. But then everybody freaks out, and then more information
comes out
about how the whole thing transpired. None of the information, I think, backs away from or takes away from the fact that I think that all of these kids were acting like entitled little shits.
Oh, yeah.
But I would also argue that I don't know that many large groups of teenagers, especially teenage boys, who get together and don't act like entitled little shits to some degree or crazy.
Well, that's a fucked up reason, though. Like, you can't just say, that's kind of like boys will be boys.
Yeah, though. No, I know it is. But no. But again, they did not. And trust me. I find. Wait, let me back up. So the problem was okay. Kids that look awful,
yeah,
and entitled, and kind of, and the MAGA hats are on. So, you know, it hits a pressure point, or not a pressure point. It's a sensitive point for everybody who, you know, in this moment we're in right now, for a lot of good reasons. Then more comes out. You see the Black Israelites who. I'm sorry, but are just bonkers. I mean, anybody who's ever been around Black Israelites in any major city knows and has been yelled at and called every name in the book. I mean, it's a super fringe, group, I think. And so anyway, and then there's video of them taunting. They were bigoted, homophobic, anti-white. Yeah. I mean, everything. They were just horrible. So those guys are, you know, fuck them. They're causing as much trouble as anybody in that situation. And then you have the Native American people come in and the gentleman with the drum. And it seems certainly believable that they were kind of trying to intervene here, that they certainly weren't, as far as anything I can tell, doing anything to provoke the situation whatsoever. So, and then you get more video of these kids and they're bouncing around and acting like total assholes and they're crazy. And, you know, my big question, frankly, at the whole watching that whole thing was, where the hell were the chaperones thinking or doing? Like, I would have, and it seemed to me like kind of a bunch of people that weren't real used to the sort of sights and sounds of the big city and kind of weren't quite sure what to do with themselves or something like that. I mean, that was one of my many takeaways from it. But at the end of the day, my God, this thing turned into just this massive. I mean, first of all, fuck anybody that, you know, threatened these kids. I don't care what. I don't like anybody getting that kind of bullshit, you know. And also, there was never anything so definitive in what those kids did. They were being very disrespectful, I think. They were being obnoxious. They were not.
They were being very just like entitled little white boys.
Exactly.
With behavior unchecked.
Right. Which is not a good thing. At the same time, I don't know how much of it is their fault. That, to me, that's the parents. That at that juncture in life, I don't. You know what I mean? I don't.
I think at this moment in time, if you are old enough to be on social media and you like don't have a sense that maybe you're being fucked up, I'm going to put it on you too.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know, but I...
Kids are pretty woke now.
But teens, no. I mean, by and large, I mean, look, and I say this as a parent.
You're a parent, I'm not. I get that. But,
teen,
like, but like, also,
no, no,
like,
I didn't
point
mean,
to...
I didn't
point,
mean I am.
I know.
Either, but
like, point to Parkland teens. Like, those kids did a lot.
Those, yeah, but you're looking at a hand... I mean, again, you aren't seeing... You saw the faces of the woke ones who stood up and had the capacity to do that. You did not see... That's a big school, and there are a lot of kids that nobody heard or saw about. So,
I just feel like,
by
like
and
the
large,
teens that I know, that, like, I still, like, mentor a lot and, mm-hmm. like, am around, you know, young people, and I feel like they're way woker than I was when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah, definitely that.
Miles.
Yeah, I agree with, yes, for sure. But... At the same time, they're still very dumb. I mean, just in general, teens. Just, I mean, they have
like your brain is not fully
right. They have not right. They haven't figured stuff out, and so that's where, like I said, you backstop to, you know, the parents, and you know, if heaven forbid that had been one of my kids doing something like that, they would have been in huge trouble, and I would like to believe they would have never done that in the first place. But nonetheless...
But let's say why. Why do you want to believe they'd never done that?
Because I feel like I have raised them in a way that they know not to behave that way.
Right. And you believe that they are in an environment at home and probably at school in mm-hmm. which they know
right.
that wouldn't fly.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, kids are more aware.
Yes.
They're not just, like, in a... Unless you're,
right.
like, a homeschooled person
yeah, no,
that's never interacting with other human beings.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I think this... I mean... Based on everything that I'm seeing, I have no reason to think that this Covington High School place is not just a hotbed of white...
Oh, for sure.
You know, white...
for sure.
Whatchamacallit, entitlement and privilege and all that kind of stuff. And shame on the parents and the faculty and everybody there who's allowing this to happen. But, again,
I don't think children should be threatened, if that's
right.
What
I don't think
at.
Children
yeah.
should be threatened, yeah. period. And I don't care
but
if that...
I think we should say, hey, here's another example of white male entitlement
yes.
and how pervasive it is and how difficult it is to root it out when
right.
it's so deeply ingrained.
And that would be a message that would be delivered much, or you would have a much higher percentage, much higher chance of that message being delivered if it did not immediately become, fuck these racist little assholes, you know, death threat, you know, like that immediately... put their families and everybody else on the defensive. Now, the way their families responded was shit, as far as I'm concerned, because you hired a fucking PR firm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, screw you. Take some responsibility for your
yeah,
damn
right.
idiot kids,
yeah,
because
right.
they're the one, you know. So I don't like that
Which
either.
Which tells me that there's not any, you know, there perhaps isn't much or isn't a high degree of parental communication or even awareness
yeah,
about
is a big thing, yeah.
You know, so maybe the parents aren't that woke
yeah.
themselves.
So but
it still like comes back to white male privilege,
yes.
ultimately.
But then overall, and I wrote a sort of like not sort of I wrote a ridiculously silly column today about this, in which I'm basically the thing, and we're doing it as we speak here. The thing that is that I actually think is the most ridiculous about all of this is that it is getting so much attention. It is sucking the oxygen out of the room completely. It is the biggest gift you could ever ask for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? These kids were assholes. They may be assholes. I don't know. Whoever's to blame for that, whatever. But this was a run-in that resulted in nobody getting hurt, nothing of, you know, and there were no tragedies here. This was just, you know, something that happened to be caught on video, happened to involve a MAGA hat, happened to hit everybody at a very sensitive time. And I'm like, okay, it's been talked about, it's been written about. We got a lot bigger things going on right now, and I don't think that this is the thing that should be dominating fucking everything. And it is. It's everywhere.
Yes
Everybody's
and no, though, because I do think there
no,
is...
It's yet.
Huh? Oh, boy. Here we go. Yes and no, because I do think there is value in like all the videos of like people shouting racist shit at each other in Walmarts. I think those matter. I think they are important to share and to capture bullshit when you see it.
Oh yeah,
and expose the people who did it. Because Here's the thing: like, you're indoctrinated. People probably don't change that much in through the course of their lives with the things they're hardwired with, unless you like really commit to like, I am going to go to therapy and untrain my brain for all the crazy, you know, shit my parents put into it. Right? Like, you have to really want to be different if you're going to fundamentally change who you are. So I think there's no problem sharing. In fact, I think it's important, and I think as a bystander, you have a moral obligation to share that kind of video if you see bullshit like that happening.
Totally agree. The sharing part, absolutely. You got to shine a light on
and
things.
It should be viral, and everybody should see it.
Like, but then,
I love when I see things that are like, make the assholes in this picture famous.
Right.
They're like holding a sign that says something terrible.
Yep. No, I'm with you there completely. What I'm not with is that this has become a national... This is worthy of being what you just described, of a quick flash that's like, hey, look at these, you know, hey, we got a problem. Okay, but it is now the subject of 8 million think pieces, and everybody's talking about it and ruminating over it. And worse yet, it has highlighted, the left did jump on this too fast, I think, way too fast, without enough information. I mean, and I thought about tweeting almost right away, and then I was like, it's just something just every once in a while. And I believe me, I've done that before, certainly, and then had to be like, oh crap, I was wrong.
And
the right does it too. Okay, I'm not.
Well, crowd video is always a very precarious thing.
Right,
I mean, we saw that, you know, we saw that in a very bold way. And like, I'll never forget this when we had the NATO, it ended up not being NATO G8, but it was just NATO summit here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. At the time, you and I were both working at the Tribune, and there was a video of someone being hit by a police van. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? There was a police van in a crowd that was like saying over speaker, like, everybody move, we got to move, we got to move. And people were like, protesters were like, you know, up against the van, and they were surrounded. And they started to kind of inch forward, and it looked like they pulled somebody under and like ran over. Like, they didn't, it wasn't like to his torso, it was just like to his foot or something, but still like ran over a human being. And then... And everybody was really horrified by that. And I remember quickly on Twitter, everybody went nuts over that. And then within a few hours, this other video emerges from another direction, like that's pointed at the front of the police van. This original video was like from the side of the police van where you just see the person kind of getting pulled under.
Yeah.
Video emerges where you're looking at the full person, the person's full body. And you realize like he kind of threw himself in front of that and was kind of like taunting the cops.
Yeah.
And I mean, he kind of did it on like intentionally to like, I dare you to run over me. And I honestly don't think I don't stick up for cops very often, but like for real, I think this kid like put his foot in front of that tire that was already moving just to kind of like make a point. So, you know, I mean, like, it's not a matter of taking sides there. It's a matter of like, fair is fair. And anytime there's crowd video, it's always, I'm always really hesitant to tweet about it because even if you have a shot of the entire crowd, you're not getting the whole story.
Right. You need other perspectives.
You need to make sure, like, if something is happening, I'll usually go to like look and see if anyone's live streaming it, because they're often moving around, because I think you're getting better. And it's great when you have several people live streaming it, because I'll just like pop it up on different tabs and just see what all you see.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really, really key. And I think as much as we, you know, I mean, I've many times said, the smartphone has changed the role of the bystander fundamentally. Mm-hmm. Like Ferguson was one of the biggest examples of that, right?
Yeah,
totally. In a really powerful way, before any of us could get there to professionally cover it, citizens were pulling out their phones saying, this is what's happening. When we were being, not just we couldn't get there, when like we were actively being stopped from going.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and access denied to everything we needed to see. So I think in that way, the role of the bystander is powerful, and we've been able to hold people in positions of power accountable in different ways. You know, like now it's not the cop's word against mine. It's like, hey, you don't have to believe me just as an average citizen, plainclothes civilian, that cop shot somebody in this manner, the way I said it was. I have a video of it, but it's crowd video. We have to be so careful about the way we think about and look at crowd video. I think we should almost train ourselves. And I think we think about this as journalists, but I think the average media consumer should make an effort to train yourself to not react to crowd video that's viral.
Yeah.
Unless it's like something stupid, like, oh, there's a flash mob. That's fun. You know, but like when the stakes are high,
right,
when it matters, be real careful with picking sides in a crowd video, because unless it's about one isolated thing, like Richard Spencer getting punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was getting interviewed and he was isolated from a group. Someone came up and punched him.
Yeah.
That went viral. It got remixed every song. It was awesome. I tweeted it 50 billion times every time a new song was put under it. It was great. That's different because it was about one little thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Somebody ran up, punched him, and ran away. And that's what the video was about. Mm-hmm. It was he got punched while he was getting interviewed. And then the person ran away and we don't know who that person was. But like if it's about crowd activity, I'm always so weary of that. For the very reason of what exactly happened, because sometimes a second thing will emerge that it doesn't exonerate these kids. They're still entitled little pieces of shit.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Absolutely.
100%.
Nobody deserves a death threat.
No.
Truly. As much as I joke about like, throw everybody in the White House out the window. I just mean like, get them out of the room. I don't mean kill them. I just mean like, get them out of here. This administration sucks.
Yeah.
It is a metaphorical defenestration.
Of course.
I'm not talking actually hurting somebody. But anyway, I've ranted about that long enough, but I think that's real important. What would be cool, I think a lot of papers do this, right? Like a lot of news organizations will do kind of a TikTok on covering a story,
mm-hmm.
not just the story itself, but here's how we covered it. In fact, we did that after NATO. We talked about like there was a particular protester police clash, and it looked like someone like cracked a sign over a cop,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of a play by play, like the photo desk did it, and like the everybody kind of put this thing together.
Yeah.
Of here's kind of the anatomy of covering a protest police clash. Here's what this looks like, and here's how to do it fairly, even when it seems like one side is the aggressor. Here's how to do it fairly and accurately. And I think that kind of stuff is interesting. So I think this would be an interesting, because you almost do it like a case study there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly.
And I think this would be cool if some news organization would take that and say like, okay, here's the thing about this and here's how to cover it and here's this. I know that's like more, putting even more gasoline on that fire, but I think that kind of shit matters.
Yeah, well, and that's how it should have been done out the gate by news organizations instead of just leaping on the initial video clip, because it really did there was a lot more. The additional views, the additional information provided a whole lot more context. Still didn't...
It didn't exonerate anybody.
Right, didn't exonerate anybody, but it did give context to it. And it did make a lot of it make, at least there was a little more sense to it. But, I mean, my thing is that at the end of the day, I'm like, this is dumb. Like, I mean, there's a government shutdown. We just had transgender people barred from serving in the military. Right. There are much bigger issues here than these.
Yeah, but
idiots.
Nonetheless, it is news. I mean, it is newsworthy.
Yeah, no,
and I don't blame a news organization for jumping on it at all, because it is newsworthy. Like, if that came across my desk and I was an editor, I would totally be like, hey, someone write this.
Well, but you'd have somebody flesh it out a little bit
for
better.
Sure,
that's the problem,
sure.
is they jumped on it without any context or real information. And they just leapt to the conclusion that it was what it at first appeared to be, which was, you know, somebody behaving like a serious white supremacist asshole.
Yeah.
And I think he was behaving like an entitled white asshole. And he happened to be wearing a MAGA hat, which I personally find offensive. And I still think the whole thing is dodgy, but there's more to it than
I don't think the emerging details made me think he was less of a white supremacist.
I'm a little hesitant.
Okay.
To take a kid, and because he's wearing a MAGA hat and being, acting like he, an entitled shit, leaping to him being a white supremacist, I have a hard time doing that. I don't have reason to reach that conclusion.
I mean, that's.
And I would say that and now here's the other thing that I think is important to keep in mind. And of course, on the one hand, I'm like, why are we paying so much attention to this?
And then we just talked about it.
Keep talking about it, right? But that's the problem. And stories like this come up from time to time, where it's just sort of wraps everybody up somewhat, and it's a talker kind of thing. But okay, so let's flip it to a group of African American kids, on a school trip, and put, I don't know who you want to replace the Native American people with, whatever, but, flip the races, and the African American kids are, well, no, actually, you don't even have to do that. Look at there. I have seen Black Lives Matter protests and marches and that sort of thing, where I have seen Fox News types and stuff say, oh, look at, that, why are they letting people be so wild? And, this is just, they should call the police and blah, blah, blah. So it's reversed, though. Like, everybody's judging. No, it is. I mean, and I'm not. And I, look, and again, there have been there.
But I think there's danger in making an exact equivalency when you're talking about.
I'm not making an exact equivalency. I'm just saying that if you flip. If it was, okay, go back to the DC thing. If that was flipped and those were black kids, Fox News would be fucking freaking out over it. You know damn well they would be. And people on our side of the fence would probably be a lot more prone to saying, like, well, hold on, wait, let's see what, you know?
Yeah, so, I hear what you're saying. I mean, just think, like, we have to also, like, also add the detail to that of, like, you know, often. When we're talking about groups of people of color, we're, adjectives are applied without thinking. Like,
right.
Our own news organizations in this, our own city even, mm-hmm. described the protests that went
on
Michigan mm-hmm. Avenue as a riot.
Right, yeah,
as a
which
riot.
Is insane.
It was,
yeah.
I was out there. It right. was totally chill.
Yeah.
It was so chill. It was like almost dull. It was so chill. Like I was yeah. walking around going, literally nothing's happening. Anybody yeah. want to comment on some shit? Anyone give me a little audio clip? Like everybody's like, no, I just think this is important. Okay, thanks for the comment.
Right.
It was the chillest of the chill.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But that's not going to...
I'm just saying, like, if we're going to be making, like, an exact, like, okay, let's say this group of children were not white kids, maybe, like, I see your point, but also we should mention that it would take much less to register to many news organizations as, it would take much less for a group of kids of color to be described as angry or hostile than it would for white kids.
It would take much less. Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree.
Like there could be a protest of white dudes getting kind of rowdy,
right.
and it would be called like a mostly peaceful protest. There could be,
but that's not what happened here, though.
No, but I'm saying, so, I'm yeah. just saying, like when we're talking about groups of people, language
yeah,
super
you.
Matters.
Correct. Yes, big
and
time.
And we could
yeah.
have like some white dudes protesting on Michigan Avenue, kind of shoving each mm-hmm. other, getting kind of rowdy, and it would be called like a mostly peaceful, only two arrests, only yeah.
slightly rowdy, or
yeah, I mean, it, like language yeah. like only three arrests were made. Whereas,
yeah.
if it was a protest of say like. Like we're saying, like white guys. Okay, so say there's a protest then of black men, and one person got arrested, and otherwise nothing else happened. I don't know that the word "only" one person would be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be called like, it might be described in very different language, and
yeah.
that's not. Again, I'm not trying to do the media thing because y'all know how I feel about that. I think like that's a symptom of really homogenous newsrooms, and
yeah.
while it's important to have a really diverse newsroom. With a lot of different points of view in it so that somebody in the room can be like, yo, what the fuck? Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Which brings up a whole other thing because then you have like, you know, unless you have like a widely and deeply diverse team, that's then like all this emotional labor falls on one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been the woman in a group of white men to always be like, yeah, but hey, maybe we don't say female CEO. Maybe
yeah.
just say CEO, unless you're going to start saying male CEO as a style point. Like, I've been the person doing that before, and it's like fucking exhausting because
yeah,
you're
sure.
like, oh, good. I spent 4 extra hours of my day doing that shit and
right.
educating your blind spots,
yeah,
dudes. You know, so there's that. Also, since I'm on a good rant roll right now, I would like to say there is a thing that I've noticed a couple times. I witnessed it twice recently. It happened to me recently. There is, like, I'm issuing the call. Everybody watch for this. It's so fascinating because we need to name this, Hupke. We need a name for this. Oftentimes, if a largely mediocre but fairly entitled, ego-driven white dude is confronted with a highly competent woman in like a professional setting, the speed with which he will try to deflate her energy is astounding. You could like set your watch by it. It is fascinating. Like, I mean, I do a lot of events at my other job at the Midwest Independent Film Festival. I interact with a lot of people. I interact with a lot of people doing other events. So I'm seeing a lot of people dealing with logistics all the time. And I myself am dealing with logistics all the time. And so it is almost always a setting of like, okay, so, you know, we need to do this. I have a question about this. And it's just like, here's a really well-organized woman who has like a track record of excellence saying like, you know, I need this, the following pieces of information. And like a dude who's like, no, it's cool. It's cool. It's a, hey, if you could just like calm down, And it's going to be...
Don't get hysterical.
It's going to be chill. It's going to be fine. Like, just roll with it. And I'm like the queen of... It's going to... Like, let the reins... Hold the reins loosely and beautiful, magical things happen. I'm the, mm-hmm. I believe in that deeply. And I don't believe in micromanaging. However, like, when it happens, you feel it.
Yeah.
And I'm older now, and I've trained myself to, like, watch for it.
Uh-huh.
And when I feel it coming at me, I will push back with the fire of a thousand suns. Like, you are going to regret. You do not know... who you are goddamn dealing with, son. Yeah. Like, it comes back to bite you in the ass. But I saw it happen to a much younger colleague, not even colleague, like industry colleague, not someone I work with
right.
at a particular organization. And I saw that happen to her, and I watched it deflate her.
Wow, that's horrible.
And she really, I mean, she came in like wanting to bring her A game, and she in fact was bringing her A game, and she was asking questions that weren't being asked and needed to be asked, you know? And I kind of observed the tail end of this interaction, and she, you know, asked like three simple, very obvious, great questions and immediately got like, no, it's cool. And like, I'm not calling anybody the mat here, but I just like, I notice it. And then the very next day it happened to me in such a way that I was like, wow, you can almost set your watch by this.
Oh, wow. That's pretty
wild. Like, I need to deflate your energy because your excellence is going to show my mediocrity. So I got to shut you down. It's fascinating. It is fascinating.
That's bizarre. I don't understand.
My challenge is men and folks who identify male and folks, particularly men in positions of power. If you see a call, I want you to train your brain. Ask your brain. Help me see this in my dude bro friends.
Uh-huh.
And when you see other men doing that, I'm asking you to do the right thing and do something about that.
Cut it off somehow.
Knock it off is what I'm asking you to do.
Right.
Don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Let your brain and like let your language reflect and maybe teach other men. Let it enter your idea that perhaps it's not about you, you dumb fuck. Like maybe it's not about you and your stupid precious ego.
Right.
Maybe in fact there is an excellent woman who's going to do something awesome.
Yeah, that doesn't seem unreasonable at all.
But I'm like, the more I was thinking about this recently, just because I saw so much of it in the last like week or two, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, this is like a very, very specific bottleneck point. Because it's usually in a logistics thing before a woman goes and does something really big, or a group or a team goes and does something really big.
Yeah.
And so you know, if you... as a younger woman, if you like come up against that again and again, that you're going to opt out.
Sure.
You're going to be like... These guys shoot down all my ideas, or worse.
Yeah,
my ideas aren't that good.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's my That's my challenge. Jeez. Hupke said.
Yeah, if I had any dude bros, I'd tell them not to.
I know, right?
Kind of a lone wolf. So.
Oh Jesus, he's a lone wolf. We all know what that means.
Good times.
Good times. Okay, so predictions for the week ahead.
More stuff.
We'll still be on the shutdown.
I think so. I don't see how this ends. I mean, you know, it's the tide is going to start to turn, but the Republicans are showing no sign of cracking. And man, I it's a mess. I mean, and I hope the Democrats don't fold. I feel horrible for these people that don't work. I think it's ridiculous. I do think that there should be an actual negotiation.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think that this should end with the Democrats getting exactly what they want, period. And I certainly, but the sticking point is this idea of the wall. There's a new idea that I just heard floated by the Democrats about actually providing more funding for border security, meaning anything but a wall, basically, meaning technology, meaning. And I think, okay, good. That's a smart idea. I mean, if you can, I mean, I don't think not many logical people are going to argue that there isn't a problem.
Yeah, no.
At the border, right? I mean, there is a problem, absolutely. I think, but that is not a problem that a wall is going to fix. And it's not a problem that requires separating families and all this bullshit. I mean, there are ways that we can do this, what with all the technology and such that we have that would be
what
a million
times. What with the Twitters
and
whatnot.
Yeah, what with the Googler and all that. So the drones, all those things, the Amazon drones. So anyway, yeah, I think that progress has to be made, but it cannot be, the wall thing is too symbolic, a fuck you to immigrants and an embrace of Trump's whole worldview. And so I think that has to go away. So hopefully if the Democrats are making some reasonable suggestions on more border security funding, then maybe there's some Republicans in the Senate who could actually be pulled over. We'll see. And then Trump will probably send out a few more, I guarantee you that by the next time we get together, the build a wall, build the wall, crime will fall is going to have been will be a huge thing in terms of the Trump universe. They're going to love it, and it's just going to be the
there'll be merch, there'll be some chanting. It'll be awesome.
Extended sigh.
Jesus. All right. Those are good predictions. I agree with them. I think it's going to be kind of like a boring slog of a news week.
Yeah.
Like just a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah. It's going to be too cold here for any news to happen anyway. I'm staying inside.
Same. All right. Well, that's been a very anticlimactic end to goofing up on politics.
I don't know. I think you're well spoken and necessary rant at the end was a strong ending.
I was kind of feeling like, man, maybe I felt like we were ranty and kind of fired up going into it. Then I was like, maybe I don't have a rant in me. Oh,
there it was.
There she goes.
No, but it's an excellent point. And I will, as a guy, never understand the behavior of others in my gender. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand why anybody would ever want to do that to anybody, not just a woman, to anybody.
Anybody.
But hey.
The problem is, I think I do think that the very same thing, like the thing is, patriarchy is a prison to us all, right? And it screws everybody. So the same thing that allows that to persist for women, I think makes it very difficult for men to call out other men. I mean, I've heard men call out other men, and it's stupid. It'll be like, hey, man, like they didn't know I was listening. And it was kind of like, hey, man, you know, buddy, Joe, Mary didn't like it when you were talking shit. Like, I know she got all bent out of shape. Can you just be cool? It wasn't that. It wasn't you were wrong. It was Mary's being a bitch. Right. That matters. It's just like, hey, man, that thing you said was not cool. Be cool. Then it's like, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine about this a few months ago, and he said, I'm with you. But the one time I did that was so upsetting. I was like, tell me about it. What happened? And he said, you know, he, a friend of his was saying something really shitty to a woman, and he called him out later, and he was like, man, that was really not cool. You really, I think, really crossed the line. And the guy turned on him, and it became about like, you're whipped, you're a pussy, you're the, you know, it became like he kind of went after him, and he said it was like so upsetting that he's like, I probably wouldn't do it again because it's upsetting. And I was like, well, now I'm going to call you a pussy. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But like, I get it. I get that there's like, it's the same like toxic masculinity that allows that to persist, makes it difficult for men to speak to each other about that. So but do better. I don't give a shit. Do better. That's the shirt I want. I don't give a shit. Do better.
Yeah, I like that.
That's signed, Amy Guth.
Right. That's a number
or
one.
Or what was the Melania thing?
Top seller in the
be
merch
best.
Store. Yes, be best.
I don't give a shit. Be best. No. Not. Anyway, this has been another fine edition of Guth and Hubby on Politics, and we shall see you next time.